The Warriors hosting the Clippers for the finale at Oracle Arena presented by Adobe. And this celebration of the fans, part of a full night of memories at this, the final regular season home game at Oracle Arena. And the Warriors wearing We Believe era throwback jerseys for this Sunday evening matchup as Stephen Curry helped lead the way with a game-high 27 points. Kevin Durant delivered 16 points and 7 assists. Draymond Green, all kinds of energy, finishing with 10 points, 10 boards, 9 assists, and 5 steals. While DeMarcus Cousins added 12 points and 9 rebounds, as Klay Thompson had a dozen points as well. And this finale at Oracle Arena presented by Adobe ends with the Warriors clinching the top seed in the West, taking down the Clippers 131-104 the final.
Yeah, we broke free in that third. It was great. Biggest thing was we didn't turn the ball over. I don't think we did a single time. And everybody was moving the ball. And defense was tremendous. Kevin was chasing Shamet around, and he had hurt us in the first half, and so he did a good job there, and I thought our defense overall was really good in that third quarter.
Jim Barnett's got the headset on downstairs, and he will join me right now and get his thoughts on 47 years of Warriors history here at Oracle Arena. And Jim, just I would say it was a perfect night, but a really, really good night.
Well, yes. The biggest thing is you get the number one seed.
Right.
Let's not forget that.
Yep.
And also, this is a team that you might meet. You could meet them in the first round. They don't want to meet the Warriors in the first round, but you could meet them not in the first round, but down the way. And they'll be a little bit better because they'll be healthy by then with some key people. But I will talk about the arena in a moment. We've got a lot of time, I think, to do so, Tim, I hope. But I kind of like these Clipper guys. I love Gilgeous Alexander, and I love Shamet, and I like the way they play. And they're tall, they're thin, they're wiry, strong, they are quick, and Shamet can shoot threes, and they can't get to that shot. And so they've got a nice little future, and I like Harrell, but, they don't have Baron Davis, they don't have Blake Griffin anymore, but they're building again, and they were terrific in March, 13-2. But the Warriors put them away in the third quarter, and their defense was just superb. It led to the 42 points, the 5 block shots they had. Draymond was the leading scorer in the third quarter for the team with 10.
Yeah,
and Looney was the second with 6.
One assist away from a triple-double for Draymond Green. He was outstanding tonight. Yeah. And, Jim, first things first, let me get back to what you said about the Clippers. Here's the problem for the Warriors with the Clippers and everybody else in the West is that you have Shamet, Gilgeous Alexander, Zubats, they're all young.
Yes.
We didn't see Jamichael Green, who they snatched away. He's certainly, if not a starter, a role player.
As an undrafted player, it's a great find for him.
Great find for him. And they still got Lou Williams, and they still got Danilo Gallinari, and they have Chandler. They are set up to be a good team for a while. And they have cap room, tons of cap room. So they're set up to be a good team for a while. But for the Warriors tonight, Jim, I thought they they had a real serviceable game tonight. I thought they played really well at times, and they won the game despite the fact that DeMarcus Cousins shot the ball 4 for 15.
I know,
and they had some costly turnovers at times.
You think DeMarcus gets a little stubborn?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, he missed his first 8 shots, and he kept trying in the threes and everything.
But I think it's because he believes he's got a little clay in him where he thinks, hey, the next one's going in.
Tim, that's what great players do.
Yeah,
and that's why they keep doing it. But sometimes then you say, hold it, I've got to put the brakes on, and I've got to let the game come to me, set some people up, do some backdoor passing, and all that stuff, rather than force the issue. And when that happens, the defense loosens up on you because all of a sudden they're worried about things that are happening away from you, especially in this league with everybody wanting to give help. And then all of a sudden, now you're not double teamed. You've got a better look at the basket. You're a little more free. It just comes together. And even the great players, that happens to them once in a while. And, I played with Rick Barry, and he talks about the time, in playoff time where he couldn't hit and he's doing everything wrong, and they take him out of the game for about 5, 6, 7 minutes, and other people play better, and then he comes back and he's ready to go. But I thought that Doc Rivers made a coaching mistake tonight. You know what it was?
What was it?
Lou Williams, his first start of the year.
Yeah,
he plays better coming off the bench.
He does. That's not
I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek, obviously.
Hey, obviously. Hey, let me update people on the standings, by the way. With the loss, the Clippers go down to 8. because they do not have the tiebreaker with San Antonio.
Okay.
They split four games, but San Antonio has a much better record in the conference. And
OKC wins today.
OKC won today. So they are 47-33, and the Spurs are 47-34, so they're a half game back of that spot. And then
the Clippers 47-34.
They're tied with San Antonio. So, you know, the Clippers have work to do if they're to get away from the eighth spot and face the Warriors in the first round.
Yeah, they don't want to play the Warriors.
No.
Yeah, you and I want them to play the Warriors because we're selfish. We want to go to Southern California, not Oklahoma City.
It's San Antonio. It's a two and a half hour less of plane time.
Yes.
Yeah, which, as I get older, that's very important to me. Yes.
Not only that, but then you're stuck there for 4 days too, Tim.
Oh, wow. Wow. By the way, for all of you listening on Sirius XM Satellite, tune in or wherever you may be listening, that's Barnett, B-A-R-N-E-T-T.
Oh, man.
That's UOGrad66 on Twitter.
Oh, man, you just killed me. But I can take it. You know what? I can take it. By the way, they started here in 71-72.
Correct.
They became the Golden State Warriors. They left the name San Francisco Warriors. And that was my first year as a Golden State Warrior, so I love being a little bit of history that way.
Absolutely. You were here at the beginning of the building and here at the end of the building.
Yes, it's amazing to me and how grateful I am.
I said this on the air.
Did
that
you?
After the Steve Kerr was done, that as someone who's supposed to be a wordsmith, that at times I pale in comparison to Steve Kerr. He just knows what to say, how to say it, and just in the right tone.
Well, he certainly does in that venue tonight, in that circumstance, and he has the right words, but people get a glimpse of that because he has the right words for the media at any given time, before the game, after a win, after a loss, and that's the way he communicates to his players, and that's one thing that makes this team very, very good. First of all, they've got a great leader in the locker room and on the floor in Stephen Curry. We're blessed, and you and I both know, Tim, how blessed we are to have that young man. And the kind of integrity, the kind of he's a gentleman. He's just off the charts. But Steve Kerr knows how to talk to Draymond Green, someone who is a little rambunctious, a little volatile, has that edge to him. He can talk to someone who's maybe aloof and a little more introverted. He knows how to communicate with people. And, of course, you know, he had a father who was the president of American University in Beirut, who was assassinated while Steve was, I believe, in high school there. And I'm trying to think, did that happen? He went to Arizona.
It happened when he was in college at U of A.
He was a freshman at U of A. But he was raised in primarily in Beirut. And I asked him one time, did he get this ability to communicate like that from his mom or from his father? And he said, probably from my father, and I think so also. He was such a diplomat.
So do you have a couple of favorite Oracle memories?
Oh, I've got a lot of Oracle memories.
Me too.
I've got a lot. Certainly, obviously, Sleepy Floyd, 1987, and Superman, 39 second half points, 29 in the fourth quarter. Klay Thompson's 37 against Sacramento a couple years back, where he was 13 for 13, 9 and 9 from three. I took off my headset because as you know, Tim, but a lot of people don't realize, we are kind of insulated from all the noise with these headset because it'd be impossible to do the game if you couldn't block it out. You hear it, but not if you hear it a lot louder if you take your headset off. And that's what I did in that third quarter for Klay Thompson. I wanted to enjoy the moment with the fans because it was really exciting. And then he comes back with the 60 points in 29 minutes here when he only took two dribbles. Steve Kerr referenced the We Believe year in Game 6, and I remember that with you. That's probably what I remember the most as broadcasting, even more than the championship games and so forth.
Well, I will say this. One of the ones that I really and Steve Kerr referenced it and reminded me about it, and because he was here and as coach, and he said he just kind of went out to half court and took it all in, was the fact that the Game 5 against Houston in 2015, Western Conference Finals.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, here it is, and you're trying to do your job, and then it occurred to me with about 2 minutes to go, he said, my God, the Warriors are going to the finals.
Yes.
They're going to the finals.
Yeah.
And that's one that really sticks out for me because, you know, how many years – would we have, if we had said, hey, you know what, we got a chance to go to the finals, would we have been laughed out of the gym if we had told that to somebody?
Yeah, that was,
you know, I mean,
40 years since they'd done it.
Yeah, So that's one that sticks out for me, too. Is that,
yes.
Now, when I agree with you on game six, I think that's as loud as I've ever heard this building.
Well, I was working with you that day, and,
right.
and if you recall, the people behind us, I'll speak for me. I won't speak for you. I know the guys in the suites behind us, they gave me a beer. I think they may have given you. I don't know.
They might have
but
given
I,
me a beer.
I know this.
That cannot be confirmed or denied.
Steven Jackson, Baron Davis. Baron Davis is willing the ball into the basket from three-point range.
Yeah.
Jackson, no problem at all. I think he hit six in that game, six of them. And coming down the stretch, they beat Dallas and Dirk Nowitzki, who was the MVP of the league that year. They were 67-15. But I, for the first time ever, and I haven't done it since, I was drinking a beer in the last couple of minutes of that. That's a rule you don't break. I mean, you don't do that.
I thought it was your best 2 minutes in broadcasting history.
I appreciate that. So I've got a couple other memories. Obviously, when I played here and playing the Bucks, and we played them two successive years, my first year here, and it was in 71-72. But 72 playoffs, I had a good series. They beat us in five games, but I was instrumental in keeping us. You know, I had a 30-point game in the series. I went to the free throw line 41 times. The next year, we beat them in six games. And the final game, I love this because I was guarding Lucius Allen, and I made him go left, and he was 0-for-9 from the field. And Rick Barry didn't have a great shooting night. He had 15 in the game, but I had 26, and that was a nice little matchup. But the one thing I remember most about that, Clyde Lee had come in, and we played in Madison game five. The series was tied 2-2, and the Warriors won in Madison because Clyde Lee came in and substituted for Nate Thurman, who was in foul trouble, and he played long enough to frustrate Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and also get in 18 rebounds, and he came out for game six, which was the final game here against that team. We won 4-2, and he got a 3-minute standing ovation.
I remember reading about that in Sports Illustrated.
Yes.
There was a small article. It wasn't a big article. It was a small article toward the back, and it had a picture of Clyde, and he looked all sheepish getting the, you know.
That's him.
Yep.
That's him.
He's my best friend. Remember that.
Yeah, and he came out a 3-minute standing ovation. He didn't want any of it. Clyde never wanted any kind of attention. He's the most humble man. And like Al Attles, I've never heard him say a swear word, by the way. Clyde Lee, I roomed with him for 3 years. He is my best friend. I've been with him through the years. Every year we one time when we turned 60, we rode the Natchez Trace Parkway 550 miles on our bikes in 6 days, he and I. And not a tandem. He had a bike and I had one tandem. So, but Clyde had that
I would have paid to see the film of that, by the way. But okay.
Three minutes. No, we were in great shape. We went 108 miles one day. No big deal. Yep. So anyway, he had a 3-minute standing ovation, and he was the most uncomfortable I've ever seen him.
Yeah, Jim, what's also, again, just to wrap up this topic on that series, what people, I think, need to understand, too, is the fact that, like, the Warriors just won their the other night. They get their 55 wins, and now it's what, the one of seven franchises to win that many in five consecutive seasons.
That's right, yeah.
And so one of the teams that was on that list was that Milwaukee team. They won 55 games, like, what, 6 years in a row. That was a really good basketball team. I think it's historically one of the most underrated teams in our history because nobody ever talks about them. But they were really good for that stretch.
Yes,
and
they
made,
were.
Two NBA finals, and they won one and lost one. And it had it not been for the Warriors, they may have gone to the NBA finals and won another one. But anyway, put this final question to you. Put this in a wrap it up with a bow for you. What was this day like?
Today?
Mm-hmm.
Very busy, Tim.
Yep. Yeah, really busy.
a radio interview with an Australian radio show. Another one on TV for ESPN, which they'll edit, and maybe, you know, you do those things and they get a million people and you might get cut out of it. That, who cares? I had to do a voiceover for our producer that came from, I don't know whether it came from Warriors Ground or the studio or whatever it be. Very, very busy. And then you have a game to talk about. It gets hectic, but you learn how to handle all those things. And it hasn't hit me yet that this is the last regular season game. And Steve Kerr, as you know what he said in his pregame talk, he said, well, it won't be the last game. It is the last regular season game. He said, I'm going to hold my emotions until it really is. But you know what? There's the thing. there's no guarantee. If the Warriors, right, if they do go all the way, maybe like they did in 2015, they win game six in the finals in Toronto.
Right.
And by the way, I'll take it right now. I'll take it. So you don't know when the last game in Oracle really is, unless you come back and you're up 3-1 in the series and you win game five at home in the finals or something like that, like we've seen them do. So it's just the passing of life, Tim. You know,
I'm maybe
not quite a generation ahead of you. I'm a generation ahead of Bob Fitzgerald, but I'm a good deal ahead of you. And I look at so many other things now, because I'm going to be 75 this summer, and so I've got other priorities, obviously, in my life, and one of them is to live. I can joke around about it, but you know, I've been here for 35 years.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I was telling somebody today.
Yeah.
That I've come to this building in more years than I've went to the house I grew up in, basically.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I lived in that house till I was like 18, then went to college and really never moved back in.
Yeah.
And I've been coming to this building for 24 years.
Yeah, that doesn't count my playing. I'm just counting the broadcast years.
Right.
And that's 35 years. It goes fast, and each year seems to go faster. And so, I'm enjoying. I'm just grateful. You know what, Tim? This, you just become grateful.
Absolutely.
And that's what I am. And what an honor, what a privilege to have – to first of all have the job, but then have a team like this. And I want them to win, but I want people to understand, and people always say, hey, we're glad you got a ring and everything like that. If you're an ex-player, you really don't care about the ring yourself. It's a nice thing, but you enjoy it. I care about these players, and I'm happy for them to win a ring and win a championship. The rest of it is just gravy for me. It's like having your grandkids, if you will, and you're happy for them. You don't need any more for yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, JB, thank you so much.
Tim,
we'll see you on the plane tomorrow to
12 o'clock to New Orleans.
Yep, and then on to Memphis and games. It'll just be kind of tune-ups. I expect some guys to get the nights off, and should be interesting.
But you and I will not have the night off.
No,
we will have
no,
to do our regular stellar job, Tim.
No rest of the weary.
And I look forward to working with you. Next time I'll work with you will be in the playoffs in the second round, and I'm assuming Warriors will be in the second round.
Could be in the first round, depending on what TV assignment.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Could be in the first round.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And I look forward. How about this? Look forward to working with you in the playoffs. It's always a pleasure.
I'm glad we established that. Okay. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Now the Warriors close out the regular season on the road with two games. First up, it's the Pelicans in New Orleans on Tuesday evening, and then they take on the Grizzlies in Memphis on Wednesday. I'm Lawrence Scott, and this is Warrior Sound.